This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
안녕하세요, 여러분. Welcome to K-Talk, brought to you by the Dunedin Korean Language and Culture Society.
We are your hosts, Takaria
and Kina.
Join us every second Tuesday evening at 8:30 p.m. on ORFM for an exploration of Korea, from its music and culture to language and politics.
Find all our episodes on oar.org.nz. 이번 에피소드를 즐겨주시길 바랍니다.
안녕하세요, 여러분. Thanks for tuning into K-Talk. Today's episode is going to be on the topic of languages and Korean culture and video games. 오늘의 에피소드는 두 부분으로 나누어집니다. It's going to be split up into two parts. 첫 번째는 비디오 게임을 통한 언어 학습이며 두 번째는 League of Legends 대해서 게스트와 함께 대화하게 될 것입니다. In the first part, I'm going to talk about learning languages through video games. And the second part is going to be specifically about League of Legends. And I'll talk about it with a special guest that I'll have on. So, learning languages through video games. Now, the first time I really came across this way of learning was when I did my exchange year to learn French. That wasn't me learning languages through video games. It was my host brother. So this 12-year-old boy, French speaker, he loved to play Minecraft. And he watched a lot of Minecraft content. And he started to play in English and watch a lot of content in English. And suddenly he was asking me about English words like pickaxe and iron ore. And I always thought that was very funny that he learned such random, very specific terminology that clearly he only picked up because he played Minecraft. But in the years since, sometimes I've thought back to that when I've been thinking about language learning and how I learn and what some good methods are. And even though I mostly thought it was funny what random words he was learning at that point, I actually think that video games can be a really, really good way to learn a language. And there's multiple reasons for this. One is that it's just really compelling. I mean, we all know that video games can be addictive because they're so fun. So if you manage to get hooked in a game while playing in a different language, despite the language barrier, it can be so, so effective because it's something where you can really immerse yourself and enjoy yourself to the point that you forget it's in another language. That is kind of the optimal condition for language learning. Another advantage is that you can get good comprehensible input from video games. I mean, obviously you want there to be enough new content that you can learn new vocab, but you also want to be able to roughly understand what's happening in order to really soak up the language. And for some video games, that might be too difficult. It depends. And I'll talk about some different options for different difficulty levels in a minute. But video games have an advantage in that they have a lot of different methods of delivering information. I mean, there's text, but there's also like imagery to help kind of give you clues. There's also sound, and there's interactivity, right? And that interactivity part is huge. It's very difficult if you're doing self-study to get interactive language content, unless you just go and live in that country. But so, if you can interact with something in your target language, it means you can try to just kind of guess what a certain word might mean, try it out, and then see if it works. So you don't have to look up every single word. So I think it engages a different part of your brain. So I think these things give it some advantages over things like reading. Reading, you only have text. Although I do think reading is also a great way to learn language. But when you start out, reading can be too difficult because you have to look up lots of words. When you watch something instead, it's a little bit easier, like if you watch it with subtitles, because you can read the subtitles, you can listen, and you can also watch what's going on. And video games add that extra layer of interactivity on top of that. So that, I think, helps a lot. And it also makes it very fun. So I said that I would talk about some different sort of levels of difficulty that you can do So, what are some ways to use video games if you're still at a beginner or maybe earlier intermediate level? One thing I think you can do is play games in your target language, where it's not a big deal if you don't understand the content fully. So one example of that would be playing Pokemon. If you've ever played Pokemon before, it's pretty formulaic. You kind of know what to do. And it's pretty fun, even if you don't understand what the characters are saying. You can just kind of wing it. So I quite enjoy playing Pokemon. So I've been looking for Game Boy or Nintendo games, so like older editions of Pokemon in either Korean or Japanese. And this brings me to one of the difficulties with using video games to learn a language, which is that sometimes you can't find the right games in the right language for the right gaming consoles that you have. Because a lot of games, especially older ones, you can only buy them in one language. So if you're in New Zealand and you want to find that game in Japanese or in Korean, it's very difficult to get your hands on it. But if you do, or maybe if you go to travel to that country and you can buy some games, one way you might be able to get around this is by playing PC games where you get your games through Steam, and then maybe you can use either a VPN or the store from that country to buy your games in that language online. So it really depends on your preferences and how flexible you are. Second thing you can do as a beginner is replay games you've already played, so you already kind of know what to do, but, you know, in your target language. So for these kinds of games, they need to be things that are still fun, even on replays. So Pokemon works in this category as well, but something like Harvest Moon, where it's Stardew Valley, which I don't know as well, but that would work very well because there is a lot of text, so you see a lot of the language, but you can figure it out. You kind of know how it works. The third thing you can do as a beginner that I've thought up is watching gameplay. Now, this is very much up to your personal taste. Some people really love watching gameplay. I don't do it much. I don't enjoy it that much. But for people that do, I think this is a great way to get in a lot of listening practice. Because even if you don't understand the content, you can still follow along because you can see the gameplay. So you can watch and listen for a long time without getting bored. So I think this is a great idea. So now where you get into the more advanced territory are the types of games where there's lots of varied text, and the text is kind of a core component of the game, so you do need to understand a bit more of it. An example of this would be something like Animal Crossing. The reason why I think this is more advanced is because, at least for me, I like to understand what the other villagers are saying. And I found this game in Japanese, but my Japanese is still kind of basic, so I struggled quite a bit with this. And partially because what the villagers say can be very random. So that's why I would put this in the more advanced category. But I will say, there's still lots of fun things to do, even if you don't understand everything. So I think this is still a good game to try and play, but maybe not for, like, complete beginners. Another option for more advanced learners is something like Legend of Zelda, where there's lots of text that you need to pretty much fully understand in order to solve riddles. Now this can be really fun, really rewarding, because you have to really think about it. You have to maybe look up words to make sure you understand all of the clues. And I've been really enjoying this, but I don't think this would work if you're still just a beginner. Okay, now the third thing that you can do if you're at a more advanced level is playing multiplayer online games. And this has some upsides and downsides. So the first downside is just logistically, online games, the idea is that you would play on the server of your target language. So if you're learning Korean, you play on the Korean server. The difficult thing is, firstly, making an account on the other server. There's sometimes restrictions for people who aren't living in Korea to make a Korean account. And the other difficulty is that if you're playing on the Korean server in New Zealand, you'll your gameplay will lag. So you might need to be in the region or close enough to the region that you can, that it's playable. I mostly did this for like League of Legends when I was staying in Korea last year. But so yeah, there's logistical difficulties. Another challenge with online games is that you're dealing with native speakers, you're interacting with native speakers like on in your team. So it's going to be difficult. They're going to use quite specialized vocab specific to that game. They'll speak using kind of like chat abbreviations. And also, if you've ever played an online game, you will know that people can be quite mean. So if you don't understand, they're not always going to be the most patient people. Plus, because you're in the middle of like a competitive game, there's a lot of time pressure, so you can't really look up words on the go. But, okay, I've listed a lot of downsides, but there are upsides. One is, again, you're interacting with native speakers, which it can be difficult to find avenues where you can do that. And also, you can learn casual language or like chat language slang that you otherwise wouldn't really get taught. And again, even compared to other video games, online games are even more interactive. So not only can you try things out, you can also ask your teammates questions and maybe even make friends. If you're really lucky, you might be able to befriend other players who are patient enough to voice chat with you and who you can then ask certain things if you don't understand them. Of course, that's dependent on finding players that are nice, patient, willing to spend their time helping you in this way.
All right, so now we've got our guest on. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hello, everybody. Hello, listeners. I am Kinos Plus One. My name is Ming. I just moved back here from Vietnam, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So, yeah, you're my partner of 3 years, and I'm very happy to have you on an episode. Now, you are not a Korean language learner, but you are a language learner. You've currently started studying German, right?
Yeah. For the last 3 months, I've been doing Duolingo every single day.
Nice.
Going very well.
Yeah, awesome. And but what you're primarily on this episode for is as my League of Legends expert, because this episode is all about learning languages through video games. And one of the games that we like to play is League of Legends. And I'll talk a little bit about how I use it to further my Korean studies. But first off, what is League of Legends?
Well, it's a MOBA game, so it's a multiplayer battle online arena game.
Yeah.
And what that basically means is you would have teams. Mm-hmm. Each person will be in control of a different character in each team, and mm-hmm. it's like fighting your neighbor. Whoever gets the house down first wins.
It's like capture the flag, but you're trying to destroy the other team's flag in their base.
Yes, basically. And yeah. The flag still move.
Yeah. And you... Everyone gets to pick like a champion with unique abilities that you then kind of specialize in.
Yeah.
Yeah, with different roles, different abilities. So, yeah, it's very competitive, very strategic.
Well, it depends on how serious you take it.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe for you more than for me.
Yes, way more.
But the reason why I also think this is a good topic to discuss in relation to Korean culture, why is that? Because it was developed in the US, right?
Yes, like most games, I believe. The first developer was from the US.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 2 seasons, the servers made their way into Asia and made their way into Korea, which is always famous for its mobile scene.
Mm.
We have StarCraft 1 and 2, which I believe were dominated by Koreans and Korean teams. And when League of Legends hit, it took like about 1 or 2 years for it to really take off. And Korean teams have been extremely successful since then.
Yeah. So esports is pretty huge in Korea.
Yes.
Extremely popular.
Yeah.
And Korean esports teams are very successful. There's a lot more resources that go into really trying to be competitive.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say games in general are very explosive in Asia.
Yeah.
I think we have... large player base for basically any games.
Yeah.
But for a MOBA in general, I believe that we spend a lot of our time and money and resources into being really good at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot more interest, like commercial interest as well.
For sure.
I will also say anecdotally, when I was in Seoul, I saw a lot more people like watching esports on their phone in the subway, for instance.
Yeah.
I met like one of the people that I met randomly was like a former StarCraft semi-professional, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, it's a big deal, right?
It is, yes.
So that's why I think it also fits within Korean culture. I mean, if we talk about K-pop and K-dramas, esports is also pretty big. Yeah.
For sure.
And it's also a very topical issue because we have the World Championship going on currently as we speak.
Yes.
World Series.
Yes, the World Championship of League of Legends is going on. Currently, we're in the semifinals.
And it's in Seoul this year.
Yes, it's in Korea this year across a few cities, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
True.
And we have the semifinals this Saturday.
We are speaking Sunday. 11th of November,
yes,
so Saturday.
On the 11th and the 12th of November will be the semifinals, and the finals will take place on the 19th of November.
So when this episode comes out, the semifinals will already be done.
Yes.
But as of speaking, we don't know the results yet.
Exactly.
So there's four teams currently still in the running. Three Chinese teams and one Korean team, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all the European, all the US teams already dropped out. Oceania teams were never even in the...
yes.
Didn't even make it to the championship.
Yeah, sadly no. Sadly they did not.
Yeah, yeah. So the Korean team that's still in the running is T1.
Yes, T1 Telecom, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're really the face of Korean esport, especially for League of Legends.
I feel like, honestly, if there was one team that's the face of League of Legends, it's probably T1.
Yes.
Especially because they have Faker is probably the most famous League player, right?
I think, well, we've all heard about how military duties are extremely well mandated in Korea.
Yeah.
And Faker is one of the few players who actually got exemption from that. Just by being really, really good at this game.
Right, right. So you're not really, like, into Korean culture in other ways, but you've heard about this through, like, esports, right?
He is, I believe, a mainstream celebrity in Korea.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But so, if any listeners aren't aware, Korean men have to do military service.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost 2 years in total. There's a very few exceptions. Basically, if you do like a service to the country, you get exempted. So if you win, I think, gold medal at the Olympics or like big sports tournaments like that.
Yeah.
And recently also, was it the Asian Games?
Yes, he got exemption for winning the Asian Games. So the way I think about it, and I might be mistaken, is that you either bring extreme glory or financial benefits to your country.
Yeah, then you can be exempted. Yeah.
Exactly.
Was it the whole team that got exempted from military service?
I believe so.
So all of T1?
So all six players, actually. Because for the Asian Games, they broke up the teams and they had like an all-star roster that represented Korea. Same goes for China and Vietnam, so all the countries involved.
Usually League of Legends has five players.
Yes.
Why was there six? Was that a substitute?
Yes. Faker was the substitute.
Faker was the substitute?
Yes.
He didn't play?
He is widely regarded as the most prolific player to ever play, the best to ever play, the GOAT.
Yeah.
But perhaps in some people's mind and conception, he has dropped down a little bit.
Ooh, you're saying controversial things now.
Yes.
So who was the mid laner?
Chovy.
Chovy, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But so he still got the exemption even though he didn't play?
He did play.
Yeah.
But not for every game.
Okay, okay, yeah. I see. That makes sense then. All right. Let me check. Okay. So to get to how I actually use League of Legends for language learning, there's two main ways. One is I've been watching the World Series, but I've been watching the streams in Korean.
Yeah.
And I found that's a really good way for me to do lots of listening without getting tired, because I can always just watch the gameplay while still listening. And the other thing I've done is when I was in Korea, I played on the Korean server. And I learned a lot of slang. I learned a lot of swear words, which was very fun. I enjoyed that. And one of the things I noticed was that the atmosphere is very different on the different servers.
Yeah.
You've played on the Vietnamese servers and you've played on the Oceania server.
As have you.
Have I played? I don't have a Vietnamese account. I've never
played. Yeah, but you've played through mine, I believe.
Yeah, but I wouldn't know what people say in Vietnamese. So how would you compare Oceania to Vietnamese servers?
Oh, I think there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there's a playstyle difference, there's a cultural difference as well.
Maybe talk about the cultural difference a little bit.
Yeah, in Vietnam, people are a lot more aggressive than Oceania.
Are they chatty?
They are extremely chatty
when
it comes to how to play the game.
Oh, so they're focused, they're on topic.
Yes, they want to win, but it's not for the team to win, they want themselves to win, right?
I think Oceania is very off-topic chatty.
I agree, 100%.
Yeah. Which is fun.
Yes, but I believe the cultural differences show in how you play as well and how you interact.
I think that's the same in Korea as well. Like, if you try to just... In Oceania, you can just start a conversation and people will join
about
you.
About anything.
Yeah. Whereas in Korea, if you do that, they will tell you to shut up.
Yes.
Is it like that?
I would say in Asian servers, you would get
on
that.
On Europe servers, it was like that too.
Mm.
I think partially in Europe, it's also the fact that everyone speaks different languages.
Mm.
So they'll just be like, stop speaking insert language that you used.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have to speak English. I don't want to have to speak German, you know?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think, like, if you have ever visited Vietnam, you would say that people are friendly there too.
Yeah.
And you would say the same about New Zealanders.
Yeah.
Or Oceania as a continent. But for some reason, when it comes to gaming, I think Oceania is just a lot more relaxed.
Yeah. And that's why they didn't make it into Worlds.
Perhaps. I believe the league got suspended as well.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, we need to wrap up here. Is there anything you would like to add before we finish up this episode?
Yes, I do believe that if you want to learn a language, please seek out media that can help you to do that.
Yeah.
And be it something of your interest, I think that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. So do you think you'll try to use video games to study German?
Yes, for sure. I think right now I'm just ramping up my vocabulary.
Yeah.
And when I can understand maybe 30%, then I'll watch streams in it.
All right. Awesome. And with that, we'll wrap up here. We'll have a song to end off with. And it's one that you picked.
Yes.
It's DPR Live. Text me. So thank you for listening, everyone.
Well, see you later.
들어주셔서 감사합니다. Got me focus on her lips while you ain't even trying. Girl, you don't feel me now. Feel me now. I'm trying to get to you. You know you want me to. I'm gone. Know how you want it. Oh, so I'm girl, I really love your styling. Got some Audi black cardi. Yep, but you don't like the view. Dirt and gold, I'm you. I ain't playing, it's true. Baby, let me ask you. 끌려오는 전화도 금친 구. Don't answer. After party, what? Just cancel. I could get you up. I'm Nasa. And you know you wanna stay. 일단 손을 잡아, babe. We can find a good place and go communicate, yeah. Like what's your music taste, yeah. 너 이름 그게 무슨 뜻이 그 거리만 일단 공이고. Test me when you're free. Test me when you're free. When you're free, when you're free, baby. 문자를 줘, baby. 생각이 날 때 시간 냈어 갈게. And beyond the rocks, baby. Then we can show me how you on. Got me focused. Yeah. Alright, cool. SOS, girl, test me when you want. Nigga, don't get no go, we don't want that. We don't want that. SOS, girl, test me when you want. Yeah. Hey, I'm to be honest, get our drink on. I mean, I make songs, you don't give up, but. Yeah, I'm gon' make that time for you, that time for you. Don't know, Jimmy, I'm all I got, she on, condemn. Boy, why some of them start? Mash, I can't start. When you free, when you free, baby.
how you are. Got me focused on her lips while you ain't even trying. Girl, do you feel me now? Hey, I'm trying to get to you. You know you want me to. And I know how you want it, oh.
Hello?
어때, why you really like you and me? 오후 끝쯤 시간 될 듯한데.
Perfect.
압구정 CGV. Action, romance, or comedy.
Comedy? You're just like me.
다른 자고 연락줘, girl.
Yeah, just text me.
Free, baby. 문자를 줘, baby. 생각이 날 때 시간 내서 갈게. And be on the rocks, maybe. Then we can all show me how you are.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.